The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Josie, and your family.
My parish family.
For bringing this lovely occasion together of the celebration of so many years of the life of the church here in this community. Lovely to see Graham and Gay and family here. Are there any other clergy from the past present that I haven't... Oh, yeah, good day, Pat. Yes. It's just a wonderful celebration of recalling it, and I've got a lot to say about that. In the name of God, Creator, Eternal Word and Spirit. Amen. Would you please sit? You've all heard of Tim Winton, that local writer of fame. He's a Christian and an Anglican, and when he and his wife Denise are in Frio at their home there, they attend St. Paul's Beaconsfield Church. I once read that Tim is inspired by seeing the far horizon and an uninterrupted sky. A far horizon. Almost 70 years ago, I went to live and work in the great southern town of Noangarup. And in those days, I used to listen to my landlady and others in the community telling me the stories of how they came to be there as founding farmers of that district. And Lily Hams, my landlady, said that at some point her family looked to the far western horizon, and then they came across the Negev Desert, the Nullarbor, to settle in Toolbrunup near Noangarup and establish the farm. Amongst those people, those first people I met in Noangarup, was a young chap named Frank. Now, Frank was in his mid-20s and he'd never been to Perth, and he didn't want to go to Perth. Can't blame him, but you might say that Frank's horizon was fairly localised and limited. Horizons are measured often by the past. That's how we've always done it. That's how it's always been. This half-century celebration of the parish of Greenwood, it offers an opportunity not only for remembering the past, but also for looking ahead to the future, to the far horizon, and for taking steps toward it beyond what is familiar and secure. It's appropriate to take a step backwards to the way it used to be, and then to reflect upon what is of value from the best of the past. What is of value from the best of the past? Such valuing stirs new energy and focus for the journey to the future and beyond the far horizon. In the first reading this morning, we were challenged by Abraham, who became Abraham, who ventured beyond his physical and spiritual horizon in response to God's call. Following a dream Abraham was taken outside of his tent to count the stars. He was told of his vocation to become the patriarch of as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and that God would be his shield and protection from his enemies. Now that was some vision. Since Abraham and Sarai had no children and Sarai was beyond the age of childbearing, it wasn't easy for them to believe the divine word. Was it a flight of fancy, perhaps? Or was it a flash of light from the deep mystery of God? Against all logic, Abraham and Sarai, who became Sarah after the mysterious birth of a child in her old age, whom they named Isaac, responded to what they believed was God's promise and plan for the future. The promise became the center of their lives. It became Abraham's vision. It was, of course, the continuation of their initial act of faith by which they left Ur of the Chaldees to cross the Negev Desert to Palestine and become the progenitors of the Hebrew people. All that was required of them was to willingly and against all real appearance and probability follow a hunch, albeit a call from God, seriously. Abraham and Sarah's entire life in God was an outstanding illustration of faith in action, not unlike the faith of this parish in these years upon which we reflect today. But theirs was 3,500 years ago. From the New Testament perspective, Abraham was the ancestor not only of those who described themselves as the seed of Abraham, the Hebrew community, but also the body of believers in Jesus Christ as well, us. Centuries after Abraham and Sarah, St. Paul, addressing the Christians of Galatia, wrote, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was not reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham." Those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. As well as the celebration of this 50 years of this parish, we also commemorate the construction and setting apart of this building 40 years ago today, as we continue to gather in it for worship of our God and the God of Abraham. In doing this, we may well wonder how things might have turned out for us had Abraham and Sarah refused to follow their hunch of faith in God to their far horizon. We may also wonder what God is working through us for 3,500 years from now. If through faith we keep our sights and vision on the far horizon as Abraham and Sarah did. The story of Abraham and Sarah is typical of the insecurity in which we people live every day, as an adventure into which we, like them, go out, not knowing where we're going. Last week I received an email from my friend Bishop Anton Kosa. You probably don't know him. Anton is the Roman Catholic Bishop of Chisinau, in that little country of Moldova, which hangs off the southwest border of Ukraine. I'm getting my hair on the back of my neck standing up thinking about it. For Anton said that Moldova is in absolute turmoil. It's being affected at every level by events occurring in neighbouring Ukraine. However, he also said, "I am in good health and spirits. We as a church work with a lot of energy and try to motivate our people to look ahead with great positivity, looking to the far horizon." The faith that is formed from the biblical story that a divine providence does govern enables us to approach the future with preparedness and serenity rather than with hysteria. For we can live by faith that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Meanwhile, we should not be surprised by today's reading from St. Luke's Gospel and the warnings it contains, to be on the alert for an impending emergency, which in that case was the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus advised his disciples to be dressed with their lamps lit, so to speak, in readiness for immediate and energetic action. What Luke wanted his readers to understand is that Jesus was expecting a single great crisis that would mean death for himself, a searching test for his disciples, and judgment of Israel. St. Luke's Gospel was written several decades after Jesus' death, when everything about the life, ministry, and death of Jesus had become a distant memory. The parables of watchfulness were still preserved in St. Luke's Gospel, along with other teaching of Jesus. And the Christians were bound to ask whether these warnings were intended only as memories of the 12 disciples in the past, as they faced the historic crisis that brought their leader to his death, or whether they had a more general and permanent application. Is there still a message in these parables for us today? The early church used these watchfulness parables to keep the first Christians awake and alive to the future, the far horizon, when God's kingdom would be complete and fulfilled. The watchfulness or vigilance parables are a challenge for all whose horizons of faith have become limited, for which the curiosity has become a bit dim. It's true in one sense that through the coming of Christ into the world, God's promised kingdom has come. And yet in the references about waiting for the fulfillment in the New Testament, it's also clear that God's kingdom is still to come in its fullness, its consummation, bound up in what is described as the second coming of Christ. The epistles, the letters of Paul and others in the New Testament, are full of spiritual direction and practical advice about the way life is to be lived in Christ between now and then. A moving example of this can be found in the letter to the Christians of Colossae, which we heard as the second reading this morning. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. This isn't the description of a community that's already made it, but one that's on the way, looking to the far horizon. In such a way of life, the people are not only able to recognize God's secret plan for the world as it's revealed in Christ, but are also preparing themselves and others for it. The writer to the Christians of Ephesus tells us of God's revealed plan. With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. John Macquarie, the canny Scots theologian of the 20th century, translated this into language that may be easier for us to understand. that God is drawing the whole creation into one great and eternal commonwealth of love. We can look forward to it and prepare for it by living it as if it's here now. Looking to the far horizon requires a special kind of vision, a faith vision. Abraham and Sarah had it, and so of course did St. Paul and Jesus. All of them looked to the far horizon. What began with and in Abraham reached its climax in Jesus. In this 50th year of this parish, being a descendant of Abraham and a member of Christ through our baptism means recognizing and responding by faith to our continuing call to let Jesus walk with us and in us in the pilgrim journey to the far horizon, to the fullness, richness, and completeness of life in God. Happy 50th and 40th anniversaries. May whatever continues to be done within these walls contribute to the deepening of faith, strengthening of this church, and the extension of God's kingdom beyond the far horizon. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.